You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up this evening after 7, it's Latino USA. Tonight, a focus on powerful Latinas, including advice from Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network. First, today is considered Equal Pay Day. The idea is it's how much longer women would have to work to earn the same amount as men did in the previous year. Data from the National Partnership for Women and Families suggests that Wisconsin women who are employed full-time lost a combined total of more than $8.3 billion every year due to the wage gap. Laura Dresser is with us now to talk about the gender wage gap in Wisconsin and in the U.S. She is Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Laura, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, put some numbers on it, if you will. How does the wage gap look here in Wisconsin?
Well, one way to measure the wage gap is to look at the earnings over the course of a year of a full-time year-round woman compared to a man. And that ratio is 79 cents to the dollar, essentially. So for that's what gets us to April 12th is that's how much longer women have to work earning that 79 cents for every dollar man's earning.
And that's to Wisconsin, and that sounds like the number I hear quoted for the national average.
Yeah, it's very close. You know, you'll hear things that are penny two off. Sometimes they're including different kinds of workers or whatever, but basically it'll be around that, and Wisconsin runs about at the national. Yeah.
And as I understand it, it may work out differently in different professional groups and especially differently for minority women, larger pay gap there.
For sure. And you know, if you look at the labor market at all, that women of color earn less than white women and earn less than substantially less than white men. So while that number is 79 cents for the dollar for white women or for all women, for African-American women, it's 62 cents on the dollar. For Latina women, 53 cents. And for Asian women in the state, 65 cents. So especially that Latina number, half the wage for full-time work that men are earning.
Now, this conversation has been going on for years. Have we seen change over time here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think there's two kinds of change we've seen in the gender wage gap over time. One is the good news of advances of women. We've seen that, especially for women with four-year college degrees. And again, that's concentrating on white women, women like myself, with professional degrees and better. They've made real strides towards men's wages. Still behind, but closer. But for other groups of women, we've seen the wage gap stay pretty strong. The other thing that's gone on, though, that has shrunk the wage gap is men's wages have come down. And this is especially true for men without four-year college degrees. Their wages have been stagnant or declining. And so partly you see equity coming simply because of decline in men's wages, which, you know, like if we all meet at $5 an hour, that's not really the equity we're looking
for.
That's
not the solution people were hoping for. That's not the way people are hoping to meet that gap. Yeah. Well, let's start to get into why. Laura, why the wage gap? And I know there's a lot of components and some parts to this. Some people might look at this and say, okay, well, maybe women are working in sectors that are lower paying than men. Maybe they're in more of the service type of jobs. Is that part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of the story. Women are in lower wage jobs, but there's a kind of vicious circle about that. Women's wages are lower. So when men's jobs, jobs that are traditionally thought of as men's jobs, become more likely to be women, become feminized, wages fall, right, for the same work. So you can see that women are concentrated in lower paying sectors, education, early childhood, healthcare, but also in retail and fast food, just low wage occupations as well. So you see more women in the service sector, you see lower wages in the service sector. And that's part of the story, but that's not the whole story.
Well, a chicken or egg question there, I guess. Do women go into jobs that are low paying, or do jobs become low paying because they're associated with women?
Well, you know, this is, you know, I think it is a chicken and egg question, and no one can, you know, definitively separate it. But why women who have four-year college degrees and teach in early childhood settings where children are not in public schools are earning, you know, at most $12 or $13 an hour, while someone who is monitoring a parking structure, which has traditionally been a men's job but now is probably evenly distributed, are earning better wages. So parking attendants earn more than childcare workers. That's part of the wage gap, and I think that says something about how society values caring.
We're talking about the gender wage gap on Equal Pay Day. Laura Dresser is with us. She's Associate Director of the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Well, let's look at a job where a man and a woman, same title, same work, same hours, and I'm guessing this varies by sector. What's the gap look like there when we're comparing apples to apples in that way?
So when you look at people in the same job, there are still situations where people doing the exact same work are not paid the exact same wage, and the only distinction you can see between them is gender. Different analyses will credit or assign that actual discrimination to a different degrees, but generally around 40% of the wage gap is unexplainable by observable things. And just because something's explainable doesn't mean it's the way it should be. But the cases where people are actually doing the same job and earning different wages, those still exist. You can still find instances of that in any labor market in this nation.
So is this overt discrimination? Is this some kind of subconscious discrimination accidentally? What are the explanations out there for that? Same job, same hours, same duties, different pay.
Sometimes it is the tradition. Sometimes it has to do with the negotiating or the information position of the person who has the job. So men happen to know someone or get told by a manager who happens to be a man what the going or the acceptable or the high end of the wage for negotiation is. And women don't have access to that information. So partly it's because we hide so much in negotiations over wages. And so people don't know. And men almost always end up with better inside information than women or historically have. In some instances, there are corporate policies that implicitly reward men or differentiate between men and women in certain sorts of ways. You can see it from the pay of tennis players and soccer players down through the labor market, almost looking anywhere. You can see instances where men earn more than women. Partly it's an issue of transparency and information. Partly it's an issue of history inside those firms or expectations generated by the labor market itself.
So what other explanations are people talking about for this gender wage gap?
Another really common one is the disproportionate family burden that women tend to take. And so women are more likely to work part-time hours when their kids are young or more likely to take on managerial positions that assume 100 hours a week of work or whatever. So I think that's often been assumed that women work less or are less devoted to work. That presumption and also the reality of having kids, having a sick kid, having to deal with soccer practice or whatever, and that usually falls on women also harms their position or balances them away from the investment in work. And so that's another place where, of course, there's a reason that difference exists, but it's also true that we could set up our social presumptions differently so that men and women were equally likely to carry that burden. And we could set up a lot more social supports in terms of childcare and in terms of the sort of supports that working parents need so that both parents could be more involved in the life of the kids. So that's another area that people regularly attribute gap to.
Now, I know some communities, I've heard of Boston, for one, really trying to work together with companies to create awareness of the wage gap and finding as their first step that a lot of companies think they're doing great. And then when they start to analyze the data, find out they're not. What kind of things do you think, before we get to government policy, what do you think businesses, corporations could do to figure out, first of all, what their situation is and then try to change it?
I mean, this is the issue of, pay transparency, pay equity. Some workplaces have explicit or just norms that you can't talk to other people about what you earn. But that's how wage gap, that's how discrimination thrives, right? If people can't talk to each other about what they earn, then your information coming into a situation defines your negotiating position, and probably things stay similar over time. You can't get rid of that gap if you don't see it. And many firms don't even know they have it because they don't audit or look that way. And so one thing is, that policy of being explicit, paying attention, thinking about how you're negotiating wage increases. Do you just respond if people ask, you know, then do you reward, or do you have a set of policies that reward specific outcomes and performance that can change how your wage structure looks over time?
We're talking to Laura Dresser from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy about the gender wage gap on this Equal Pay Day. We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Have you experienced this gender wage gap? How did you know? How did you find out that that was going on? What causes the difference, do you think, in pay between women and men, maybe doing the same job? How do you think this affects us here in Wisconsin? And what kind of solutions do you see at the individual level, the company level, government level? Call 800-642-1234 or post on our Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Laura Dresser from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy about the gender wage gap here in Wisconsin. It's Equal Pay Day. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the gender pay gap? Have you experienced it in your life, maybe at your workplace? How did you find out that the pay was working differently? And what, if anything, do you think needs to be done to close the wage gap? 79 cents on the dollar is a common number we see in Wisconsin and around the country. What would need to happen to change that here in the state, around the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now with Russ in Gotham. Russ, hi.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I'm not as concerned, I don't think, about the wage gap as the guest is. And you guys touched on the reason why, I guess the core reason why, that being in general, as a business owner, there is some elevated risk in employing a female, you know, that may have children that are planned or unplanned or have other opportunities for missed work. Not that they're not as dedicated, because most of the women I've worked with, I think, have been as dedicated as anyone. But, you know, the reality of it is, you know, things like that do happen, you know, unplanned pregnancies or unexpected pregnancies or other missed time for work. And ultimately, as a business owner, the job has to get done whether someone comes to work or does not. So,
Russ, thanks for the call. I think we get your point. I want to bring Laura in on this. So it's a risk for a business owner, a pregnancy risk, a risk of missed work in the future that seems to weigh more on women than on men, he's saying.
Yeah, and that's undoubtedly true. I think, you know, there's a kind of legal issue about presuming a risk on folks who haven't, you know, women who don't have kids, then, you know, you can't just assume all women are going to have kids. But I know that this happens. And I know that, you know, I think we all know that, you know, women do carry the burden of the kids, you know, physically during the time of pregnancy. But then after that, it tends to be the case that women are more likely to get called in on taking care of a kid. But of course, kids always have two parents, and it isn't natural or inherent that it isn't dads that leave work at least as much as moms do. It's just the way we've set things up. And so I don't think of it. I mean, I understand that that's the realities facing, but I think there are other ways to arrange the balance of work and family. And it's women who've always taken the hit. And then women in general, maybe those who don't even intend ever to have kids, take a presumed hit in the labor market because of something that's quite unfair.
Well, probably there are a lot of people who've had that same thought process as Russ. What's the solution? Is it something that involves changing the minds of all the employers, or is there a wider, I don't know, maybe a policy change that would help tackle that way of thinking?
Well, I think this, you know, if there's ever a world where everything kind of moves slowly together, this is one where it is a question of social presumptions, policy supports, public and private action that all move together and slowly, you know, obviously we live in a very different time in terms of employers' assumptions about what women are capable of today than we lived in even two decades ago. And I hope we continue to see that advance and change. But it is policy and legal strategies and social presumptions that have to change along with it, or business strategies won't change.
Russ, thanks for that call. Talking to Laura Dresser about Equal Pay Day, the gender wage gap in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're a woman in the workplace. How do you see this all playing out? How does this work in your life? Do you think you're making less than men, and you shouldn't be? Call 800-642-1234. Go next to Ron in Black River Falls. Ron, hi.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering what the guest thinks about kind of changing labor force demographics. There's a lot more women going to college right now. They outnumber men, if I'm not mistaken. They're getting more four-year degrees. Wondering if you just think kind of the slow creep of more highly educated woman workforce will close some of this gap just through natural market forces.
You know, that's a good point. And certainly over time, especially since the early 1970s, one of the major reasons we've seen the wage gap erode or shrink is because the women in the labor market have shrunk the education gap. But the fact is also that even within every educational status, from the PhD to the professional degree to the four-year degree to the two-year degree to the high school degree, every level shows a wage gap where men's wages are higher than women's. And so education doesn't alone solve it, but it does contribute and help. And so that's it's a good point, especially over the last 20 years. And the gap, as your caller said, in some areas, women are getting more education than men. More specific professions have become much more female. And that really does make a difference.
And of course, we hear, thanks for that call, by the way, we hear about, and we've heard about for years, the idea of a glass ceiling in a number of industries where women have a hard time making it to the more lucrative parts of the field, maybe as compared to a man with the same education level. Any changes going on there that you see?
I pay more attention to the porous floor of our labor market than the glass ceiling.
Gotcha.
So, you know, there's certainly a lot of evidence that the boardrooms, the managerial, you know, the executive leadership still remains a bastion of kind of a area that white men are predominant, and women, people of color, are still exceptions. And so I assume that's the story still going on.
Go back to our callers with Stephanie in Madison. Stephanie, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a female in my late 20s. I have worked in management and corporate America, and I've also worked in family-owned businesses. And one thing that I have noticed that's made me pretty much say I will never work in a corporate setting again is the very blatant inequity that I felt while working as a manager in a corporate setting. I definitely felt like I was much more under a microscope as a female in corporate rather than a small business. And I was wondering if your guest had noticed or done any research or heard anything where there is a more blatant difference and pressure on females in a corporate setting rather than in a mom and pop setting where I feel like you're more of a person than a number.
I gotcha, Stephanie. So viewing women as a category, maybe in a larger organization. I don't know how you'd start to research that, Laura.
Yeah, I'm not familiar of research specifically on that topic. It's an interesting point. And I'm sure actually what tends to be true is that in structures with a lot of corporate governance, there can be systems that are more attentive to the wage gap, but then maybe they feel more like more scrutiny on all women in a work site. And then the smaller workplaces, probably there's a pretty big variation, but at least people can find a place where they feel like it's a good fit for themselves. And I'm glad. Sounds like maybe you found that.
Stephanie, thanks a lot for the call. Laura, briefly, as we wrap up, do you have a target date in mind where these wages will come together? And hopefully not, because the men all go down to meet that lower level?
The progress has been slow. And if you just follow the trajectories that we're on, it's still more than a decade away. And I would like us to kind of expect more from this society and from men and women's relations in it and from the way that labor market rewards people. So I'm hoping for sooner than a decade. How about that?
We'll leave it there for now, Laura. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
That was Laura Dresser. She's Associate Director for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, also known as COWS for short. She joined us to talk about Equal Pay Day and the wage gap between men and women. You can still share your thoughts, by the way. Head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Let us know how you feel about Equal Pay Day, what your experience has been in the workplace. You can always tweet us, of course, at Central Time WPR. Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, New York is the next stop in the race for presidential nominations. Harry Enten from 538.com is back with us for a look at the latest news from the campaign trail. People are moving out of rural areas and into cities here in Wisconsin, according to some of the latest census data. We're going to look at that trend and ask about your experiences. And a guest says activists could overturn the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision on campaign finance if they learn lessons in political action from the National Rifle Association. It's all coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, it's the Joy Cardine Show. Tomorrow morning after 6, if someone calls you a bird brain, you should maybe thank them. Joy's guest says birds are surprisingly intelligent creatures. She shares the story of the genius of birds. That's tomorrow morning after 6 here on the Ideas Network. Coming up next on Central Time, it's news from NPR and WPR. Then we'll talk about a new set of laws just signed by Governor Walker, expanding protections for victims of sexual assault and domestic abuse. I'm Rob Ferret with Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.